evening, everyone. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church, Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study. If you would, please grab your red songbooks and turn to song number 18. 1-8. Song number 18, Take the Name of Jesus with you. Starting on the first, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you, take it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy, when his loving arms receive us, and his songs are tongues of joy. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus high, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven with him, when our journey is complete. Precious name, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Amen. Brother Jeremiah, would you open the service in a word of prayer, please?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering us all here together to sing praises unto you. Lord, I pray that you may bless these songs and hymns, Lord, and bless the preaching that is to come. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now turn to song number 14, Kneel at the Cross. Song number 14, Kneel at the Cross on the first.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice, leave him in the care, and life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, meet you there. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would his glory share. Bliss there awaits, heart can ne'er be full, those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look up to crowns above. Turn not away to life's marking up, trust solely in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Good evening. Welcome to Shield Faith Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, just raise your hand. Caden's going to be passing out the song for this evening. So unless you already grabbed one, just let us know. But we'll go through these announcements here. Weekly church service time, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays are at 7 p.m. Underneath that is a list of soul winning times. The main time is Saturday mornings at 10:30, meeting right here. All the other times are subject to change. 208-391-5323 is the number to call. Middle page, under announcements, this Sunday evening will be in 1 Kings chapter number 3. Let's see what else. Come join us Saturday, September 10th at 3 p.m. for a baby shower for Miss Joanna. We'll be painting canvases for her to take home. And it's also a potluck, so please bring a dish to share. Let's see. Also, September 4th, after the evening service, we're having a barbecue potluck. So, again, bring a dish to share. Birthdays and anniversaries for August. So, next up is Skulk and Maribel's anniversary. So, we'll have them sing on Sunday, I guess, right? Have Jeff. Yeah. That's right. I have a feeling he would do it. I don't know. I just got that feeling. Let's see, verse of the week, Matthew 7:3, which says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" We talked about that last Sunday morning. We are a family-integrated church, and what that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. If you need privacy, there is a mother baby room right across the hallway. Dad's still got to use the break room for just a little bit longer. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And I do have all the communication cards, and so we'll update the prayer list, and I'll be going through the questions and all the stuff that was submitted later this week. The bottom line says your treasures troll your thoughts. That was from 2 weeks ago. So with that being said, we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, at this moment, we'll be singing "Oh, What a Moment." Starting at the top. Oh, what a time will be when we see loved ones there, those who have gone before, eternal joys to share. And oh, what a song when the blood was drawn. Start singing a song the angels cannot sing. Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus, when we stand face to face.
Thank you so much, Lord, again, for allowing us to be able to meet here this evening. I just pray that you bless the service, Lord, and the fellowship afterwards. Thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Okay, at this time, we'll be going over our prayer and praise list. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request or a praise that you want on this list, you always write it down on a communication card or just let anybody in the church know, and we'll be sure to get you on here. Let's all bow our heads and have a word of prayer over these things. Dear Lord God, we just want to come before you this evening to lift up our prayers and praises to your holy name, Lord. And as always, we want to start off by praying for opportunities to preach to unsaved family, friends, and co-workers. We also want to pray for the health and safety of our church families. We pray for the spiritual growth and wisdom of our church as a whole. We pray that God would continue to meet our church financial needs as we grow in number and in space. We pray for the spiritual needs of our communities, that they would desire the sincere word of God and to grow in doctrine, Lord. We pray for the safety, health, understanding, and wisdom of our children as they have to grow up in this decaying world. We pray for the like-minded churches to continue to grow and be protected from those that wish us all evil. We also want to pray for the wicked leaders in our local, state, and national governments to be removed. We pray for the continued freedom when it comes to medical mandates. We pray for those having a hard time with any allergies this season and summer colds, Lord. We also want to pray for the safe and healthy pregnancy of Miss Joanna. We want to pray for Miss Melissa and her unspoken prayers, Lord. We pray that you meet her needs in those situations, Lord. And we just want to pray for the continued progress with Miss Bella's speech therapy, Lord. And as her family and her are searching for a new therapist to help with that, Lord. And we also have a unspoken for Linda. We also want to pray for the family chiropractor's son while he's waiting on a date for heart surgery. Lord, we pray that you be with him and his family. And we also want to pray for Kevin's niece, Jazzy. And we want to pray for her healing. And we also want to pray for Miss Melissa. She has an unspoken as well, Lord. You know all the details in that. We just pray that you meet her needs in that. And we also want to pray for her family, that they have safe travels as they travel to and from California. We also want to pray for Miss Patty's family to be open to hearing the gospel. And she also has 3 unspoken prayers, Lord. You know all the details in that, Lord. We just pray for that and pray that you meet her needs in those situations, Lord. And we also want to pray for Miss Rachel. She has an unspoken prayer as well. And we pray for the upcoming church soul winning event. We pray that you'd bless it and that the people would have their hearts softened to hearing the gospel, Lord, and that you lead us to those that would be receptive. We also want to pray for the monkeypox virus that's going on continues to grow stronger amongst the sodomite community. We also want to pray for the health and well-being of Brother Joe Maples' family. We pray for the health and safety of those who watch and support us online. We pray for Joseph Knight and his wife over in the UK. They desire to have children, Lord. We pray that you bless them in that, Lord. And we also want to pray for the vexation that they're going through when it comes to the sodomites and everything about them that's going on over there in the UK, Lord. We just pray for them and pray that you'd be with them, Lord, and protect them. And we also want to pray, lift up our praises to your name, Lord. We want to start off by praising you for all of our church families and those we've been able to get saved. We thank you, Lord, for our freedom to continuously preach the gospel every week and for you keeping us safe during the battles we all fight. We want to thank you for exposing those who would come into the church to do harm, Lord. We just praise you that that they're taken away and that they're not here to cause trouble or any discord, Lord. We thank you for that. And we also want to thank you and praise you for the 2 unspoken prayers from Miss Patty that were answered, Lord. And we also want to thank you for watching over Brother Jeff and Brother Uriah as they travel to and from California. We thank you for protecting them on their travels when it came to their plane rides, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, turn to Esther chapter 1. Esther Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he shewed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 140 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver, upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the woman in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to shew the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Marshina, and Mumukan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contentment contempt, and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not alerted that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the same pleased the king, and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan, for he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Dad, would you lead us into a word of prayer?
Right, amen. Esther chapter number 1. If you would look at verse number 12, the Bible reads, "But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him." Now keep your place there, but go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to come back, and we're going to go through this story here in a moment. Now, I just want to start off with the title, and I'll give you a quick disclaimer and let you know what we're talking about. The title of the sermon this evening is Homewreckers. All right, Homewreckers. Here, now I'm not talking about the Homewreckers, all right? I got them a few weeks ago or maybe a couple months ago. You know, I'm talking about the Vashti type. I'm talking about the more subtle version of the homewrecker. Because a lot of people, you know, we hear that term homewrecker, we just think of the neighborhood skank or the workplace hoe. You know, we're just like, well, yeah, okay, yeah, homewreckers, got to preach against them. And there's a lot of man-eaters out there. You guys know that. it's a thing, right? I've preached against it. But really, when you think about it, no one's immune to becoming a homewrecker, depending on who you give your influence to. And we're going to talk about that this evening. We're going to learn the subtle traps that are set for women today, who sets them and why they're set, and why we, especially as God's children, need to be aware of these things and to take heed to these things. So, also, I want to go off and say this, you know, I'm not preaching this to be unkind or to be mean. You know, obviously the ideal situation is that, husband, wife, kids, that whole sort of thing, never been divorced. But you've heard me say this before, what is ideal is not always immediately real. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are saved that, you know, the real situation is not a possibility for them. There are thousands of moms out there that have kids that wish they could have a husband or wish they could have this, wish they could have that, wish they could have a good church to go to, but they can't because of their immediate circumstances. We never want to look at those people and try to make them feel like there's no worth in them, like they can't serve God or like there's no hope for them. Why? Because that violates the manifold wisdom of God. We actually want people like that. We want to help those people. We want to seek those types of people out that are in these anomalies so that we can teach them what the Word of God says. And so I just wanted to display that and just come right out and say that so we've got that clear. And we don't have an attitude problem in this church towards women. We had that when this church first started and we drove it out. Okay, so now that I got that off my chest, let's get started here. 2 Timothy 3. So again, what are we talking about? We're talking about home records. Now, before we read verse number 6, let me just kind of go back and get us caught up here. So we just read Esther chapter number 1, okay? We're going to focus largely on what Vashti did and why that is such a problem. Now, we could come back next week or we could come back, you know, several times and talk about all the problems that Ahasuerus has because he's definitely at fault too, okay? But one thing I just want you to keep in mind as we go through this is that they are the world power at this time. That's going to come back and be a huge factor as we go through this sermon tonight, okay? So let's get back on track here and let's kind of talk about some issues with homewreckers, okay? Here's a verse that doesn't use the word homewrecker, but it does describe them perfectly. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse number 6. Look at the first four words there. It says, "For of this sort." Okay, we're going to go through the first five verses here in a little while. The first part of this chapter is talking about reprobate people, men that love themselves and so on and so forth. And Paul's telling Timothy of this sort, so these types of people are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. Keep your place there because, again, we will come back to it. But go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I remember when I was younger and I'd read that, and I'd be like, silly women, what's wrong with that? You know, because we use the word all the time to the kids, right? We're like, oh, you're just being silly. Well, in the context of the Bible, what that means, being a silly woman, is somebody that's lacking in good sense or absurd, frivolous, trivial, or superficial, right? It's bad. It's not something that you want to be. And I'm telling you right now, and you already know this, our culture is set up to cause women to be silly. What they do is they put the diverse lusts in front of you. They make those very easy for you to see on your phone, on the news, at work, wherever you're at. And then there's always this host of people of this sort, of these reprobates, of these nasty, wicked people that are ready, willing, and able to come into their homes and lead captive these silly women, to take control of them. You know, we were talking about this before the service. You know, Jessica was bringing up the fact that back in the day, and this is still kind of true today, the Jehovah's Witnesses would always seem to come around homes in the middle of the day while the man was off to work. You know, and for a long period of time there, the Jehovah's Witness organization had an abundance of women. You know, and so honestly, I would definitely say that there's home wreckers that are guys as well. Okay, it's not just something that pertains to women. And you say, well, how is that? Well, these people go and knock on the door. They take away, you know, women that are just heavy laden with sins. They promise them the world. They promise to set them free. They have the devil behind them. The next thing you know, the wife's carried off into this cult. Husband comes home, doesn't like it, doesn't agree with it, and the family splits. It happens all the time. And guess what? Do you think the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to be like, well, hey, you know, work on your marriage, and then come, when you get right, then come back to us? No, no, no. They're going to say, you can find a better man than that. You can find somebody in our kingdom, okay? You know, you need to get away from him. He's abusive. He's toxic, okay? They're not going to help you out in the way that we would help you out. And that's kind of an extreme example, but it definitely fits in here. Now, last week, I talked, I kind of got on the guys, and I preached a sermon about pimps and sims, right? The world tries to pretend that you can fall into, you know, one or two categories. You're either beta or you're alpha. You're either a simp or you're a pimp, right? Well, we're outside of all of that, okay? We need to come along and present the truth to people that both of those really just lead you to being a sin, because there's no such thing. But again, culture today would love nothing more than to prime the minds of our young people and our women to think, you know, well, you don't want one of these simps, do you? No, you need to seek after a pimp, somebody who's like James Bond. You know, that's the kind of guy you need. You know, and that's what's being pushed today, and we need to preach against these things because these are aggressive attacks going on every single day in this country and throughout the Western world. Look, there's a reason why a lot of guys are going to other countries to find wives these days. Look, it's like this in Japan. When I was in Japan, I was talking to this guy through a translator, and he was telling me that he's getting married, and I was, you know, trying to congratulate him, and he's like, "Don't congratulate me, brother." Is what the translator said, and I was like, well, what does he mean by that? And he's like, I had to go all the way to Indonesia to find somebody worth marrying. You know, and he kind of just gave me the breakdown. You know, he's like, Japanese women are stuck on themselves, superficial. They're going the way of America. He's like, I'm not trying to offend you, but that's what's going on. You know, they don't want to listen to their husbands. They don't want to be obedient. They want to be their own self-sustained powerhouse type women, and it's causing a lot of issues, okay? And I remember thinking about that, like, wow. You know, our culture really has influenced these other nations. You know, it's a tragedy. It's terrible. It's absolutely horrendous. But again, we're going to learn the subtle trap set for women today. You're in 1 Peter chapter number 3. Let's ask this question, okay, because it gets brought up all the time. So obviously, beginning of Esther chapter 1, Ahasuerus, he's throwing a party. right? 104 score days, right? I mean, this guy knew how to party, right? This guy's got a 6-month party going on, and he's like, hey, let's throw another few days in there with some other guests, and let's not let this thing just come to a screeching halt. You know, let's keep this party going. So it's understandable that his wife would be upset, that she would not be happy about that. And there's probably a lot of other things going on we aren't told, okay? But why is it a big deal that she said no? Okay, when Ahasuerus says, hey, to his chamberlains, go get Vashti, I just want to show her beauty. What's really wrong with that? What's wrong with her saying, you know what, no, I'm not going to do it? Okay, well, let's take a look here, okay? 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. Look what this says. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now let's stop right there. Obviously, Ahasuerus and Vashti, it doesn't say that they're saved. More than likely, they weren't. Okay, maybe I like to kind of think that Ahasuerus got saved later on after the whole story was over and many of the people of the land became Jews. We don't have time to get into all that. It's possible, it's very possible. Maybe the influence of Esther got to him, but I guarantee you, I mean, I'm almost certain that at the beginning, during this time period of Ahasuerus' life, they were not saved. So the question is, why is this in the Bible? Why is this scripture? Why is the narrator saying, hey, this is something you, as God's children, need to be aware of and need to pay attention to? Well, because of this verse right here, okay? Now, as God's children, we obviously follow the Bible. They didn't follow the Bible back then, but yet we're still reading about their problems and their story. What does that mean? That means that what is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, is what God wants, okay? And all the stuff that falls out with Vashti and the whole law that's coming to change, you know, that wives would obey their husbands, that's the will of God. Okay, I'm serious. You know, we talk about this all the time. We spent the whole month of June talking about, you know, would there be a Pride Month if Jesus was here ruling and reigning? Obviously not. Okay, well, guess what? If this was the millennium period and Jesus was ruling and reigning on this earth, guess what? It would be illegal for a wife to disobey her husband in anything. In anything. Be legal. And you can take that to the bank. You say, you're misogynistic. I don't care what you say. Shut your mouth. This is the will of God. It is woven throughout the entire Bible, and there's no getting around it. No getting around it. I don't care what Western culture says. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what anybody says. This is the word of God, and this is truth. What does it say? Look at verse 1 again. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, here's where people do tend to abuse this, okay? Where they glide over that word, their own, okay? To their own husbands. That means we don't go bossing other people's wives around, guys. We know that. We've had to deal with that in the past. Let's move on. He says this, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, what does that mean, okay? Well, obviously, it's not just talking about how she speaks. What's her vocabulary like? No, it's the conversation that she has with the new man inside of her, okay? That's what he's talking about here. This is why, and we'll get into it in more detail in a moment, but this is why it would have been wise for Vashti, even though she didn't agree, she was upset, she had her emotions going, whatever, it would have been wise if she would have picked up on that and just said, you know what, this isn't the hill to die on. This isn't the battle that needs to be fought right now. That would have been the wise choice for her, but she didn't take that route. But we as God's children need to adhere to these things, okay? Look at verse 2. It says, while they behold, well, who's the they? The husbands. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Chaste conversation, meaning serious, meaning in depth. You're serious about your walk with God, your walk with Christ, coupled with fear. Fear is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Okay, so there you go. There you have it. That's what he's talking about. The conversation with the hidden man of the heart. Now, obviously, Vashti didn't have that, but it doesn't matter. That's the will of God. That's what God wants. That's why we're reading this story, so that we can see the failures of the world and learn from them. See, we see this verse here and how God wants the family unit to function and to operate, and then it makes it easier to look at the world and to be like, you know what? That's why they failed. That's why they went wrong. That's why we have to preach truth. Because guess what? This truth is not popular today. It is definitely not in season. You go down to the new evangelical church, and they're going to preach to you the two-headed monster, okay? Pastor Anderson preached a sermon a long time ago called The Two-Headed Monster. I listened to it like 5,000 times. You know, I just thought it was great. And I've always used that analogy every time I think about that. You say, what's the two-headed monster? It's where mom and dad are 50-50 and everything's equal. Power, money, everything. Let me tell you something. It very rarely ever works out. Very rarely. There are exceptions, but it very rarely ever works out. Okay? And in fact, if you look at the studies that are going on right now, the studies of these relationships, there's almost always some form of adultery going on. Okay? And I don't have time to get into that, but hey, it is what it is. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. It says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Now, I find it interesting here that a couple weeks ago we read Proverbs chapter 7, and Solomon tells a story about a young man who gets caught in the snare of a hoe. A real homewrecker, a man-eater, okay? And what does he say about this woman who dresses in the attire of a harlot, who goes around, who's married, seeking to just crush guys, to just steal from them, and to just take them, to take the simps, take the innocent? What does it say? Solomon said this, that she is loud and stubborn. Loud and stubborn. Now, the question is does that only apply to the heathen? Or can saved, born-again, Bible-believing Christian women be loud and stubborn? I think you know the answer to that. What does it mean to be stubborn? Well, it's basically you having a determination to not change your attitude, not change your behavior, in spite of evidence and in spite of truth, in spite of any logical argumentation that's out there, okay? That is what we don't want to be, because what that produces is rebellion. And rebellion, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft, okay? Not a good place to be. But you know what? We live in a society where, I'm serious, you know, your family members, your coworkers, your neighbors, I mean, your so-called friends, your phones, I mean, just everywhere you turn, it's feminism. Feminism is, it's you're just as good. You can do this. You don't need a man. He needs to listen to you. He needs to obey you. It's reversed, okay? And we got to be on guard with this kind of thing, because it can and has and does creep into churches. I've seen it more times than I care to admit. I'm talking about saved, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, Baptist, new IFB people who have gotten slain by loud, stubborn women. It happens all the time. And that's why I get so upset when I'm talking about this, because it ought not to ever be said about God's children that, you know, their wives are being loud and stubborn, or their men are acting like Ahasuerus. It's not right. It's not okay. Look at verse 5. So he says this, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Look, write that verse down. Okay, make sure that you know how to get to that. Because over and over and over again, you've got these new evangelical guys running around town saying, well, no, Jesus in the New Testament changed it to where it's 50-50. It's like teamwork, right? So dad gets home from work and he hops right onto that dishwasher. He hops right onto all the chores and just, you know, it's 50-50. Okay, look, that's not how it should be. Now, look, I'm not against helping out with the chores. I do that all the time. You know, I like to spend time with my wife. I like to spend time with the kids. I like to do things on occasion. But you know what? I'm a pretty busy guy. Okay? A lot of you are pretty busy, you know? And if you're working 8, 10, 12, or longer hours a day, guess what? The last thing sometimes I want to do is come home and have somebody tell me, hey, there's a sink full of dishes. You know? I mean, that just, I mean, think about that. You want to ask the question, what is it? Why are people having such a hard time today in marriages? It's because of this lie that's being pushed by the liberal left that are inside all these churches, that the woman has the same right, the same everything as a man. God didn't create us equal. We think differently. We have different anatomy. We are built and designed completely different. And look, you will not be happy until you can learn to operate the way that God made you. You know, I better just stop right now because I'm about to flip out. All right, so look at verse 6. Let's keep going here. He says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Okay, now stop right there. Okay, don't let people mock you with this. Okay, look, if you want to be called Lord in your own house, then more power to you. I'm kind of creeped out by it. Okay? Now, Jessica did this thing a while back where she bought something. Okay, yeah, that's what it was. I just had to look at the face there. So she invested, what is it, Scotland? Just nod. So she's not, I'm not trying to trick you. Yeah, so basically you can buy like a little couple of square feet in Scotland of like forest, and they'll like give you a certificate saying you're a lord. And you can, like, it's a real thing, and you can actually change your name and all that stuff. And so that's cool, whatever. But me personally, I don't know. I don't like it. I like my name or my nicknames, whatever it is. That's fine with me. You know, I'm kind of an easygoing dude, but whatever, you know. The point is here, she was subject unto Abraham, okay? Sarah operated in the way that God wanted her to. Okay? Why do you think God blessed Abraham and Sarah? Why do you think God blessed that family? Right? Because of their obedience. You're going to see that come up here again in a minute. Look at the rest of the verse. Whose daughters ye are. So, hey, Peter, you know, is saying this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And he wants all you women in here to read this personally. So he says, hey, ladies, I don't care what your culture tries to shove down your throat. This is where it's at. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. You know, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm afraid that if I'm subject to my husband in 2022 America, that my mom, my dad, my aunt, my uncle, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers are going to make fun of me. We're better than that. We are stronger than that. Okay? They're not going to be there in eternity with us more than likely anyways. So why do we waste time trying to please these people who don't care about you? They just want to glory in your flesh by saying, look at what I got you to do. They're trying to control you. We don't like other people trying to control us. We allow the Bible to control us. We want God to control us. We want the Lord's statutes to control us because that frees us from the bondage of this world. Amen. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands. See, it wouldn't be right if you didn't get on the husbands too. It's a constant battle. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And see, I'm just going to go through this. This is where a lot of times we get this thing wrong. Because we hear all the stuff that I'm talking about, women got to be in subjection, and that's true. And we believe that. We preach it. We teach it. We practice it. But sometimes there's a tendency for the man. There's a tendency for the guy to be like, you know what? I'm not helping you do anything. You just do everything. I'm not going to invest my time in you. I'm not going to learn you. I'm not going to do anything for you. I earn the money and that's it. I'm not saying we have anybody in here like that. I don't think we do. Okay? However, there are a lot of people like that. In fact, there are a lot of dudes right now that are single. I could take you to a conference and show you some of them that are walking around trying to find women, and they're having one heck of a time. I got to tell the story again. I will never forget the day. This is a few red hots ago. I watched a guy and I felt so bad. He walks up to this girl and he's talking to her and it seemed like things were going well. I was like Solomon, you know. I'm just like observing, you know, through the window here. And he's just like asking questions. It seems like she's kind of being nice. Everything's going good. And he's like, well, do you have a job? Oh, yeah. She names the place that she works. And he's like, wait a minute. Don't they require you to wear pants? He's like, yeah. And he's like, why are you working there? What's wrong with you? I'm like, oh, dude. He's like, you know, you think your husband's going to like that? Huh? You think your future husband's going to be okay with that? I'm like, no, this is so wrong. This is so wrong. You're not even dating this person. You don't even have a friendship built with this person. How are you going to ever make it? You're not. In fact, this same guy, I was play fighting with Kinley. We were boxing at the last conference, you know, and that's just what I do with a girl. I like them a little bit tough, but they'll be great wives someday. Unfortunately, but I'm you know, just kidding. But so, you know, we're street fighting or whatever, wrestling around, and she hits me pretty hard like she does. And I'm like, ooh, that was a good one. You know, some people were laughing, just like, whatever, like, that's just how you are. And this guy's like, same guy. He's like, is that what she's going to do to her husband? And I said, I sure hope so. Now, obviously, I'm just joking, okay? But I said that just to get a reaction out of this guy and just to tease him. But anyways, back to verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Right? You never want to stop learning your wife. The moment you do, you're going to have trouble. I've been there. Trust me. It's not worth it. Look at the rest of the verse. Giving honor unto the wife. Okay? That's not saying give your obedience unto the wife. It's saying giving your honor. You want to learn her. You want to help her. You want to give her that honor as the one who is the caretaker of the home, who guides the home. He says this, as unto the weaker vessel. Okay? And what does that mean? Does that mean she's the only one that's weak? No, she's the weaker, meaning you're weak too. We're all weak. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Ouch. Ouch. Think about that. Think about that. If you treat your wife, guys, like garbage, guess what? You need to understand your prayers are hindered. That is a scary, scary, scary place to be for any household. So, with that being said, go back to the book of Esther. Go back to Esther chapter number 1, and we will move on here, get into the sermon here. So again, even though Ahasuerus is living, you know, the party lifestyle, you know, whatever, you know, he's got his big party, his barbecue going on, why would it have still have been a good choice for Vashti to just obey? We already answered the question. It would have displayed wisdom, right? That, I mean, she lost everything. Think about that. She lost everything. She literally wrecked her home based off of fighting over something that really wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't that big of a deal. He's not asking her to do anything sinful. The Bible just said she was fair to look upon. Ahasuerus is having a great time, having a party, and figures, well, this will make it even better. Okay? And that's what it was. Was it the wisest thing for him to do? No. But was it sin? Was it this great tragedy? Was it, you know, like the new evangelicals like to preach, oh no, really in the Hebrew, what he did is he was trying to like basically, you know, parade her around naked. That's not what that says. And it doesn't say that in any language. Okay? So get that out of your head. But guess what? There's people out there that preach that. And it's stupid. And those people, man, they need to be dealt with. I haven't even had that much caffeine today, but for whatever reason, it's one of those nights. Verse 12 again. Let's pick up the story again right here. Verse 12 says, but the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. So he's upset. He's embarrassed, right? It's not the fact that she just refused to go. Okay, she disrespected him in front of his peers. This is the leader of the world of that time. And here his wife has just totally disrespected him. And this is another source of a lot of marital problems today, where the wife will disrespect the man. Now, obviously, it goes both ways, but men handle this a lot differently because we are programmed and wired to be the leaders of our home. And when we don't get that respect, bad things happen and anger burns within us. It's just what it is. It would be wise for ladies to understand that and to know that and to find a better way, which I will show you here in a while how to deal with this type of situation here. But let's move on to verse 13. So he says, the Bible says this, "Then the king said to the wise men," and don't miss this, "which knew the times. For so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment." Okay? Look at the beginning of that verse. "Then the king said to the" who? The wise men. Who's talking here? Is it Ahasuerus or is it the narrator? It's the narrator. And who is the ultimate narrator here? It's the Holy Ghost. Okay? You say, yeah, but I want to know exactly who read it and when they wrote it down. Doesn't matter. It's the Holy Ghost. This is the Word of God, the Bible. God put that in Scripture. "Then the king said to the wise men." You know what that means? There were wise people at this time that probably weren't saved. You say, but no. Only God's people are the wise. That's not true. Luke chapter 16, there's a story that Jesus tells about an unjust steward. And this unjust steward gets himself into a lot of trouble to the point where he gets rebuked from his employer. You know what this unjust steward does? He uses wisdom to get himself out of that and back into favor with the person that he works for. And you know what Jesus says? He says that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Go look it up. It's Luke chapter 16, somewhere around verse 8. Okay? Look, Jesus is saying that in that chapter to let us know, you know, it's not acceptable for us to be in that condition. We should be looked at as the children of light, right? Like, people shouldn't be looking at the church being like, man, they're a bunch of fools. Because that's what's going on out here today, right? I mean, I hear it all the time in people's houses. All these Christians are nothing but a bunch of party animals. You know, why would I go to church when I could just go to a TED Talk? You know, there's no difference between them and the world. There's no difference between a rock concert, a rap concert, and most mega churches today. Zero difference. There's a guy who gets up there. He looks like the world. He's got the leather jacket on with the zippers and the holes in pants. And it looks like he painted them on. And he's got the mohawk or the real high hairdo type thing going on. Half the head shaved, the other half just kind of normally grown in. You know, yo, dog, what's up? Saints, what's up? I'm so loving and cool. And he doesn't even realize that he's nothing but a fool. Right. Not wise. And the world looks at that and they think that's Christianity. Right? They think, well, they've got their rap, they've got rock, it must not really be that bad if the church is in it. Right? And then we preach Leviticus 20:13 like it should be law, and the next thing you know, the whole world's upset. Right. See, that's how this thing works. But look what the king does. "Then the king said to the wise men," which is, I mean, I could spend all night here. Okay? He obviously was a good king in the sense that he surrounded himself with people that were wise. The Bible confirms that, which, don't miss this, knew the times. So these wise men knew the times. What does that mean? It means that they understood the culture that was surrounding them. Like they knew about the TikTok videos going on YouTube. I'm just kidding. Obviously, you know, they didn't have that stuff back then. But they knew the vulnerabilities of the people in that time. And they knew, because of the situation that they were in, they knew exactly what Vashti's actions would do. Look at verse 14. So we'll just kind of skip this, but he says he asks the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, which sat the first in the kingdom. Look at verse 15. "What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains." Okay, good question. What are they going to do about this? Okay. Remember, he's asking the wise men. They know the times. They know the severity. And so this question is asked, what are we going to do about this according to the law? Look at verse 16. "And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus." Okay, this is what the Bible is recording. The wise men. The Bible confirms that these are wise men. They are not stupid people. Okay?
This is what the wise men say. Hey, it's not just a slap in the face to the king, not just a slap in the face to the princes, to the wise men, to the royal people, but to everyone under Ahasuerus' reign, this is a problem. Look at verse 17. It says this, "For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not." Verse 18, "Likewise shall all the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath." Again, let's recap this. King Ahasuerus, he's upset, he's angry, but he's still smart enough to ask his wise men what's going on. His wise men are wise because they knew their law and they knew their times. Who here thinks our politicians know our times? Yeah, they don't. They're not really in charge and no one looks up to them. No one trusts them. Okay? Very few people trust our politicians, but they didn't quite have it like that this time. And here's another thing I'm going to tell you. You know, as we go through this, this is really going to highlight how degenerate our society is. Because think about it. These people are heathen. Okay? They are not yet Jews. They are not yet converted over to the God of Israel. But yet, they're performing, you know, a godly task here and trying to figure out the impact that a disobedient queen with power and influence is going to have on their society. You say, why? And it's because of this. The actions of those with power control the deeds of those under their influence. See, they realize this. They realize the fact that they have influence. Vashti was looked up to. I mean, this is a royal family here. Okay, see, here's the thing. In today's day and age, in the United States of America, right, no one looks up to Joe Biden, right? You know, people aren't looking up to Anthony Fauci. They're not looking up to Donald Trump. People wish he was still president. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody wishes that, but whatever, okay? No one's looking up to these people, okay? They do stupid things all the time in their families. You know, remember when Bill Clinton had his fallout back in the 90s? And, you know, just people just made fun of him. Now, that did have some impact, okay? But nothing like Hollywood. You see, what our society has done is they said, okay, well, if it's true that the actions of those with power control the deeds of those under their influence or under their power, then we've got to do something, because how are we going to control the minds and the hearts of the American people and the people of the West and eventually the people of the entire world if no one looks up to the politicians because the power's with the people? How are we going to do it? Well, what they had to do is they had to create a royal family, if you will. They had to create a society that people would look up to and value as royalty. That's what Hollywood was established for. It's magic. It's mockery. It's trickery is what it is. Okay, so Hollywood gets established, who I personally believe was definitely the agenda of the devil. I mean, you can go back and read stories of Aleister Crowley talking about actors in the 20s and him saying that these people are some of the most vile, wicked, filthy, coke-sniffing people that he knew in his day. Okay, now I'm not saying if you've ever seen a Hollywood movie, you're going, you know, whatever. Look, just you know what I'm talking about. People, I mean, think about it, Hollywood, right? What's that Hollywood Boulevard where people have the stars, you know? I mean, think about that. It's man worship. You see, these people understand that the actions of those with power control the deeds of those under their power, under their influence. So what they do is they establish this thing called Hollywood. There's actors. They lift these people up on high because of advantage or whatever. And people start to look at them in the same way that people looked at the royal family back in this day. And then what they do, and they being the dark forces of the world, ultimately Satan and his principalities and powers and demons that run things, what they do is they take those people and they cause them to do wicked things on the screen and to do wicked things in their personal lives. And people see that and they're brought under the power and they think, oh, I need to act just like that. She yells at her husband. She says her husband's stupid. I must act the same way. Look, I'm serious. Go take any of these sitcoms. You know, back in my day, it was Cheers. It was, It was Roseanne. It was, the Seinfeld show. And probably just tons of other ones. And in almost every single one of those, I mean, Night Court. That's getting real old there. A lot of you probably, Jeff, you know Night Court. You don't lie, boy. Kevin, you remember Night Court. Come on. You guys got to help me out here. Okay? In those shows, what was it? It was man and woman's equal, and the guy's typically stupid. Just a buffoon. Same thing on the Disney Channel. You know, that started back in the day, too. We're like, Dad's just this big goofball. And sometimes I act like a goofball at home. I'm just playing around. But at the end of the day, I told you before, if I want something to happen, it's getting done. It's getting done. And you see, the problem in today's America is that America has given women a card that people didn't have back then. In fact, this government didn't want people to have this card, and this is the card of manipulation. You see, because the wife today in America knows, hey, you don't do this, guess what? I'm out. There are preachers out there whose wives are always like, you know what? You mess this up, guess what? I'll dip out, and then you'll no longer be qualified. That happens all the time. And it's wicked. It's demonic is what that is. And it should never be named amongst God's people, ever. So, anyways, I got to get back on track here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. So think about this. Okay, think about this. So you get Hollywood. I mean, these people... I mean, nobody knows the real divorce rate in Hollywood, but every article that I read said it was somewhere of a minimum of 80%. It was definitely 45% in the first 10 years. You know, I mean, it's terrible. And guess what? The Western world is right behind them. The higher their divorce rate goes, the more reprobate they get. The more wicked they get, the more wicked society gets. And I'm not just talking about your Hollywood actor. You know, I'm not just talking about your, you know, whatever actors are popular today. I'm talking about their musicians. I'm talking about their news anchors. Look, it's all the same. You know, your gal or guy on CNN or MSNBC or whatever, you know, they work for the CIA, who also influences Hollywood. There's a connection there. You know, how do you think that these movie producers get to film United States aircraft carriers and submarines and F-16s and all the armament that we have? There's a connection there. There's something going on. Look, because when I worked for the government, I mean, they didn't want you to know when the most basic ship was coming into town. You know, I mean, they're always like, don't you tell anybody this and that. You know, for example, I would be working on a job and my wife and some other people would go down to watch the ship come in, you know, because they know I'm at work, working overtime. They can figure it out. They can figure out what's going on. And there's people that will just come up to them and be like, hey, so what you out doing? You know, just make conversation. And then they reveal who they are. Say, you know, we just want to make sure that, you know, you don't tell anybody else about this and, you know, that you don't say anything. And we don't want a crowd watching this boat come in. But yet, Hollywood can get access to that stuff. What do you think about that? There's something more going on than meets the eye. It's what I'm trying to say. And also think about this. You know, in the Hollywood movies today, well, now it's all going to the dogs, but I don't want to get off on that. But going back to this culture here in Hollywood, I mean, they've really removed responsibility from women. Okay? And again, I'm not attacking women. I'm just being honest here. Because typically, think about this. What happens when any woman today says, you know what? I don't think marriage is for me. I'm just going to fornicate. I'm just going to do what I want. Okay? Well, she has the option of birth control pills. If that fails, she has abortion. And guess what? Homie dude, he doesn't have a say. Because it's her body, her choice. Now, that's changing a little bit here and there. It's kind of still, you know, up in the air how that's going to play out. But it's still there. Right? Look. You want to get an abortion here in Boise, you can go cry your little heart out to the mayor and she'll probably sneak you one. Yeah. Okay? I'm just guessing. They're gonna look the other way is what I read in the paper, what I read in the articles. That they're not going to use Boise PD to go after these Planned Parenthoods around here doing abortions. Okay? Think about that. So you got that, you know? And let's say she's married. Says, you know what? I just don't like the way you're treating me. I'm out. Does he have a say? Can he say, no, I don't want the divorce. I think we could work on this, even if it takes 10 years. No, she could be like, I met somebody else. You're a loser. I'm gone. Bye. And the courts will back her up. You will pay child support. You will pay alimony. You see, society has taken away all of the negative consequences from sin for the woman. That is by design. That is wicked. That is evil. And that, my friend, needs to be talked about, and we need to tell people this stuff. You know, the same thing happened to the children of Israel even back in Hezekiah's day, even back in the days when Isaiah and Amos were running around preaching the word of God. You don't have to turn there, but listen to this, because we've gone over this several months ago. But Isaiah 3:12 says this. And this is Isaiah speaking from the mouth of God, and it says this. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. How does that happen? That happens when you have a household where there is neither father nor mother. They're both equal. It's both 50-50. You know, it's very difficult for the mom to be the dad. It's very difficult for the dad to be the mom. Thanks, brother. Yeah, it's one of those nights. Losing my voice. All right, I'm going to calm down. The rest of the verse says this. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. So even the nation of Israel, even the nation of Judah actually during this time had gotten to a point to where children were ruling the parents, to where the women were over the men. And what happened? What happened to the nation of Judah? They got conquered by the Babylonians. And then they got passed down to the Persian Median, you know, empire. Then eventually went to the Greeks and then to the Romans. And then thank God it came to us. By design. Are you in 1 Corinthians 6? All right, so let's talk about this, the power of Vashti. That's what we're preaching against today, the power of Vashti. Remember, the statement or the main point for this sermon is that the actions of those with power control the deeds of those under their power. Okay, so what's the solution to this? What should we say? What do we do about this? 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse number 12. Paul says this, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but don't miss this. But I will not be brought under the power of any. That needs to be your creed. That needs to be your meditation. That needs to be what we live by. We're not going to be brought under the power of Hollywood. We're not going to be brought under the power of the Hallmark Channel or of any of these things. We're not going to be brought under the power of society today because it's wicked. It's ran by the opposite style government that you saw in Ahasuerus's day. I mean, think about that. That kingdom was way more righteous than ours is today, right? Because what are our politicians running around doing? You know, we don't really need to be married, right? Get yourself in a debt, I'll get you right out. You know, you get pregnant, you don't want that child, your body, your choice, I'll help you. We'll make a resolution, even if we have to send abortion trucks. Now, I don't know if Biden's actually done that, but I heard it was tossed around. Jump down to verse 14. God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. And so that's the attitude that we need to have and understand. We're under a different power. You know, we literally are free in Christ. We're free from the bondage of this world. We're free from the attacks to our thoughts and all the enslavement and all the traps that are out there. We're free from that when we're under the power of Christ. And if you're saved, you're indwelt by the Holy Ghost. That's who is over you. So why in the world would you be tempted? Why in the world, after hearing this sermon, would you allow yourself to want to be and look and act like the world and be a homewrecker? Because that's ultimately where the power of Vashti leads. It leads to wrecking homes. Hollywood has one agenda, ruin the Christian. That's it. Ruin the Christian. Every Hollywood movie, every sitcom, everything out there on TV is designed to blaspheme God. And you say, well, okay, well, I got an episode where they don't. I'll bet you in that same episode they do. Let me ask you this. How well do you know the doctrine of blasphemy? It's not just taking the Lord's name in vain, but it's also making a mockery of his manifold wisdom that's in the Bible. When you do that, when you teach people to do that, and you start wrecking people's homes, and you start having these foolish, stupid, retarded, I mean, sodomite-ridden churches out here standing up and standing side by side with the world and endorsing this filth and this garbage. I mean, there's no wonder why we are in the perils that we're in today. And I mean, is it too much to ask that we just have at least this group of people in here, in this town, in this valley, to stand up and say, you know what? We're not going to take any of that. You're not going to tell us how to run our houses. And if you don't like it, go look the other way and shut your mouth. How about that? That should be the attitude. We tell them how we run our families. We never let them tell us how to run our families, ever. We should never allow them to bring us under their power. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I promised I'd break down this silly women type attitude here, so let's do it. But in order to do that, we need to read the beginning of the chapter here. So 2 Timothy 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I think it's safe to say that we're pretty close to that. You know, we're in some troublesome times. And there have been perilous times even before this day and age. Let's just be honest. But we have a different kind of perilous time today. I mean, this situation that we're in today, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, this filth that is being pushed by the government, by the media, by the forces of darkness, it's finding its way into Christian homes like never before. Like never before. Man, you got to be on point with this. You have to understand this. Look at verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Okay, let's stop right there. All those things I just read in verse 2. You know, those are all the things that are being glorified on the internet right now as an alpha male, as a pimp, if you will, right? Now, some of these people are shying away from that term. That's kind of what I threw on them. But really, I mean, if you go watch these Andrew Tate videos, if you go watch some of these other guys that'll promise you the moon, "I'll show you how to be more attractive. I'll show you how to get these women and have them falling all over you." First of all, think about this. It's only wise to live with one, to marry one. I mean, the Bible teaches you that, you know. Go talk to Samuel's father. He'll tell you. Trust me, it's true. I read it in the Bible. It's a guarantee. Okay, but this is how they teach you to act. They just don't come out and say it. Say, you want to be a high value man. You want to, you know, you want to act like you're rich. You know, you need to fly in first class even if you don't have the money. You need to buy that $500 suit even if you don't have the money. You need to act like how you want to be. And that's how they come at you. And these simps are sitting around like, "Man, yeah, you're right. This guy is onto something." And he has no idea it's the devil behind him, really just preaching him everything God told you not to do, not to be like, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, verse 3, look at what it says, "without natural affection." Right? What are these so-called alpha dogs out there saying? You know, "Oh, you don't want to show any emotion at all to these ladies, you know? Nothing bothers you." Guess what? You're a human being. You're going to get upset. You're going to get mad. You've got feelings, and things sometimes just need to be talked about. Truce breakers, false accusers. You know, truce breakers. You know, they're going to come out and say that. They're going to say, "You don't tell no one what to do." You know, you get into an agreement with somebody, you know, and they get upset at you or it don't go your way, you walk away and you tell them to go to hell. Right? That sounds better than saying truce breaker. But really what these people are teaching you to be like is a truce breaker, false accuser, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Listen to these people if you want. You know, they mock us. They mock the fundamentalist. They mock the Christian. Look at verse 4. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." That describes just about every church in America, except for a small handful that I know of. Verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." People say, "Oh, I invited you there, Pastor, to Greg Lowry's meet and greet, and you keep rejecting our emails. What is wrong?" Well, what's wrong is 2 Timothy chapter 3. You got a form of godliness. You got the speech. You got a so-called Bible. But your message is trash. You are trash. You are a liar, and you're sending people to hell by the droves. You're teaching women to rule men. I don't want nothing to do with you. You can't come down here and move us an inch. So verse 6, he says, "For of this sort, so of these types of people, are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. That means heavy loaded, just bogged down with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Look, I mean, today's day and age, this is the reality that we have to deal with, because sin is at your fingertips no matter where you go. And you know what? I heard it's even worse in a lot of these other countries. I mean, let me talk about Japan again. As soon as the weather starts getting warm, guess what the women do? They start putting on the bikinis, walking down the street. You go to Japan in the warmer months, you better be like Job and make a covenant with your eyes before you start falling down and tripping on yourself. I've seen it several times. I watched three dudes, three welders. Again, I was doing my Solomon thing, and I was looking out my window. This is legit. I used to look out the window all the time, just watch people because I thought it was hilarious. And watch these girls walk by, and these three guys, all of them, boom, face plant, bleeding. What do you think my response was? I was laughing like crazy. They look up, ugh. I thought it was hilarious because I knew who they were too. But I'm just saying, all this stuff here of this sort, you know, this is what culture says a high value man is today. And that's what God's telling us is a low value man. Okay. And this is where the world's just getting crazy and it's just getting weird. You know, the devil's out there just repackaging all this reprobate quality and saying, this is what you need to be like. And then you go out there and people are like, man, I can't find anybody. It's like, I know. You know, there is coming a day where even God's people, some of y'all are going to have to actually go to another country to find a wife. I'm just saying. It's not a guarantee, but it may come down to that someday. I don't know. Because not the whole world has bought off on this is what I'm trying to say. But we got to move on here. Look at verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that what's going on today? You know, you try to talk to these people that have bought off on this high value, you know, that this just this alpha dog man. Go try to talk to those people. It's like talking to a brick wall sometimes. It's sad. It's heartbreaking because you want to get those people saved. But they're just like, I ain't got time for no religion. I work every day. I work 7 days a week. I'm always working. If you get home before 7 o'clock, you're a loser and you'll never be rich. That's what the Navy SEAL said on their YouTube channel. Yeah, how many of them have been married for the long haul? Not too many. Go to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. I got to skip some of this for sake of time, but that's okay. Titus chapter 2. I got to get you the application. How should women act? Let's take a look. Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 1. The Bible says this, but speak thou the things. So Paul, talking to Titus, he says, hey, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Don't miss this verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That's how us men should act. And then he says in verse 3, the aged women likewise. So obviously the women should have those same qualities. He says that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. What's holiness? Sanctification, set apart. Meaning we take a look at the world and we say we don't want to be like the world. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wish that the world would go back to the days of Ahasuerus. I wish an Ahasuerus type guy would take over the world right now. We'd be better off. You'd be able to preach the gospel. It would be legal for wives to leave their husbands on a whim. And things would get better. And if you didn't, hopefully you didn't miss this part in there. Even though he's being a clown and he's having a party, they still had a law that you couldn't compel people to drink. Right? Our government's always trying to compel people to drink. Right? Every commercial, every billboard. I mean, the grocery stores, they're trying to compel you to drink and get drunk. But look at verse 3 again. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Again, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So you still get to do your teaching. We talk about this all the time. Our women get to go out and they get to preach the gospel to all sorts of people, male, female, child, boy, girl, and they teach them doctrine at the doorstep. Is that going on at your mega church? No, they got one lady that's trying to act like Paula White or Joyce Myers. Right? And she's, you know, well, you know, you're misogynistic, you're a little Baptist church. Man, shut your mouth. You don't know anything. Look at verse 4. It says this, that they may teach. Who are the they? The aged women, right? The aged women. That they may teach the young women. So you have the aged women are supposed to have these attributes where they're sanctified from the world, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to what? Love their husbands. Is that what Hollywood's going to teach you? Is that what the radio station's going to teach you? Is that what, you know, Avril Lavigne's going to teach you? That might date me. I don't know who the female singers are. Give me a break. But that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. These things, guys, need to be taught. That's why we have fellowship after the service, so that these things can be set in order and be in place. Right? There's nothing in the world wrong with our aged women going around saying, hey, look, I've lived this life. I've got this experience. Let me share that with you. Okay? Let me help you out. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, and don't miss this, keepers at home. That ought to get the people riled up. That gets the world riled. You're telling me that women should just stay at home? Absolutely. But here's the thing. That's not always possible for all women. And so we want to pray for them and we want to help those out. Because, you know, there are a lot of Christian women that would love and desire this, but they can't have this yet. We don't just cast them out. We don't just mock them. We don't make fun of them. No, we teach them how to navigate the situation that they're in. But what I'm talking about are the people who mock us for believing this. Who mock my wife for staying home. Who mock your wives for staying home. Who mock our young women for saying, I want to get married and raise a family and be at home with my children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Hey, does that verse say, if he's not like Ahasuerus? No, it doesn't. Be obedient to their husbands as long as he meets that checklist. It's not what it says. The moment you do that, you blaspheme the word of God, wife. Look at the rest of the verse. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So me as a husband, you know, if I start acting like a super clown to my wife, my prayers get hindered. But when the wife says, you know what, I'm going to take on this home-wrecking attitude here, and you're going to start to listen to me, you're going to start to meet my demands, guess what? You blaspheme the word of God is what you do. I don't know any Christians that want to have that attitude. Does any wife in here, does any woman in here want to raise their hand and say, I want to be called by the God of heaven and earth, a child of God that blasphemes his holy word? I don't think so. This is the word of God. This is what it says. The husband leads the home. He has the final say. It is what it is. It's the truth of God. The world is never going to like that from this day forward. There was a time where they seemed to like it, and as soon as that ugly head of that serpent sprung up in Vashti, you know, at least they had enough sense to say, you know what? We need to squash this thing. We need to play some whack-a-mole here before it infests the entire world. Go back to Esther. In fact, go to Esther chapter number 4. Esther, well, we're almost done. I'm going to wrap this up. Esther chapter number 4, because we need to answer this question here. Okay, why is it, and this is a good question, why is it that Vashti disobeys her husband and gets consequences brought on her? But Esther does the same thing as far as disobedience goes and gets blessed by it. Okay? Some people will put that question to you. You got to have an answer. You got to know these things. Let's take a look. Esther chapter number 4, real quickly, look at verse number 10. So this is after, obviously, you know, Haman's plan has been revealed. He's like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and kill all the Jews. We need to get them out of here. Mordecai's like, hey, Esther, you need to do something about this. So he's trying to communicate with her. He's saying, hey, you need to go see the king, and you need to request that he understand this and put a stop to this. Look at verse 10. It says this, again, Esther spake unto Hattach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether a man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Okay, so here you have a situation where now this wife, where now Esther is being called upon to put herself into danger and to disobey the law of the land to the king. And she's like, if I do this, I'll die. What's Mordecai's response for those of you who have read the story? Basically, if you don't do this, you're not going to be spared because he's going to find out you're a Jew. Right? I mean, we could spend all night on that, and we will someday. Okay? So ultimately, what does she do? Chapter 5. Go over to chapter 5, and let's take a look. Before we start reading chapter number 5, what she does later in the chapter here when you start reading verse 15 and 16 is she tells Mordecai, hey, I need you guys to go pray and fast. You know why she does that? Because she's not a home wrecker, she's a home checker. Okay? She checks herself and says, what do I need to do to be able to do this? Is this the hill to die on? Well, let's see. Being paraded around because you're good looking, or don't say anything and all of God's people die because of some wicked guy. I mean, right? This obviously, when it's checked out, is definitely worth dying for. Where one person puts their lives in jeopardy for many. You know, there's another story in the Bible about this, okay? Look at chapter number 5, verse number 1. It says, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. Again, what did we just read in chapter 4? She wasn't supposed to do this. This was illegal. This was disobedience. But what happens? It says this, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And some things happen. Obviously, we don't have time to get into it. But basically, God's people win. She puts her life in jeopardy and she wins. She has to disobey. She realizes this is a hill worth dying on. I'd rather obey God than men, in other words. And what happens? She obtains favor. But why? Why? Because she was humble. Right? Because God is all over the story. He's using her and her courage to do something that is right, to let him know. And God gives her the favor. So this is supposed to be an encouragement to us. But I'd like to encourage the wives to take a lesson from this story, from Esther, and say, you know what? It is worth putting your reputation with your family, your neighbors, your coworkers in jeopardy to stand upon the word of God. Amen. And guess what? They're not going to like it. But you know what? You will obtain favor somehow, I guarantee it. I see it all the time. And here's why. Last place we're going to go over very quickly. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and we're done right here. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Look at verse number 5. So Peter says this. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You see, that's the difference between Esther and Vashti, is that Esther was humble. And what does this say here? And be clothed with humility. Right? Esther was clothed with humility. If you were to go back and to read chapter number 2 and read what the plan was after Vashti disobeyed the law, right? The guys came up and said, hey, what we're going to do is gather all these young virgins together, and whoever finds favor, you know, she will replace Vashti as queen. What was Esther's attitude like? First of all, right off the bat, she finds favor with Haggai, however you want to pronounce it. Right? Whatever he gives her, the garments and the things for purification that he gives her, she's like, I'm okay with this. This is good to go. And she takes it. She doesn't argue. I'm willing to bet, because I know people and you know people, right? I'm willing to bet that in that situation, a lot of the women of the world were fighting and bickering and gossiping and talking trash about, oh, I'm going to wear this. Oh, I need to get that. Oh, that looks bad on you. You know that was going on, man. You know for a fact that was going on. Whereas she just came on the scene. Well, if God selects me, he does. If not, no big deal. Why is that? Because God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Look at verse 6 and we're done. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. That's what this all boils down to. Look, home wreckers do exactly that. They wreck homes. But it starts with us allowing ourselves to be brought under the power of the world and the influences of the Vashtis of this world. It starts off as a Vashti and ends as a Kardashian. That's where that stuff will lead you, man. I'm telling you. And that's it in a nutshell. Okay? So the encouragement is to not be a home wrecker, but to be a home checker. You know, the women are supposed to be keepers at home. They're supposed to be checking. They're supposed to be guiding. They're supposed to be fulfilling their role. And we as men, we as Christians, we need to stand on that. We need to abide in that. And we need to encourage people in that. Because that's how this thing grows. That's how this movement grows, is by adhering to that humble word of advice. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this great teaching in your word. I just pray that you would give us all courage, Lord, to stand upon these truths, though they be not popular in the world. And just pray that you'd bless the fellowship after the service, Lord, and bring us back all safely on Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
One more time this evening and turn to song 24. Song number 24. Gather myself. Song number 24. And can it be that I should gain? On the first. And can it be that I should gain?
Strong guidance. godly families that are patterned after the Word of God, Lord. Just help us not be afraid of what the world and our coworkers, friends, family may think. Lord, be strong. Stand on the things of God, Lord. Keep us safe this week. Bless the soul and bless the church service this weekend, Lord. We love you. Just say pray.